Welcome to the Grow Equation Podcast, a training podcast for service-based business owners who want to hashtag work less, earn more. Your host, Diana Lidstone, has been working with businesses for more than three decades to help them get known as the undeniable authority in their industry, ramp up their profits, and optimize their resources with the end goal that they work less and earn more. So if you're ready to implement simple steps to banish the hustle and to do business differently, then stop. Stop folding laundry or running on your treadmill, grab a pen and paper, and let's dive into today's episode.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Grow Equation Business Podcast, where I share tips, strategies, and guest interviews so that you can work less, earn more. If you are a mission-driven six-figure business owner who feels at all overwhelmed or overworked and who wants to have a bigger impact in the world, then listen up. Today's guest is a busy mother of three special needs children. She has started and she's running a business and a podcast, so I'm sure we can gain some clues and some tips from this woman about regaining her time. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And so you were just telling me before we got on, you spent 10 years in a business very unrelated to video production. So share a little bit about that.
I don't think you could get more unrelated to video production. So originally I started off in video production and I worked in the media for a number of years and then I taught it for a number of years. And then life went on its own merry way and I ended up in something completely different and fell into being a chocolatier. So I actually spent 10 years making Belgian chocolate, cakes, wedding cakes, gained 2 stone. I did. Well, you know, you've got to try it and sample it. But yeah, I spent 10 years working in the chocolate industry before finishing up with that and then going into IT.
IT. So from chocolatier to IT. And you have another business. You said IT Central, which is a bricks and mortar technology repair shop or computer repair shop. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So when I came out of the chocolate business, a friend of mine said to me, will you come and manage my IT business? And I thought, I've done so much retail work and I come from a technical background. How difficult could it be? So I went, yeah, that's fine. I needed a job. So, you know, I went for it. And I remember in the first week, I started on the Monday morning. And on the Wednesday, I finished work, went home and fell asleep on the settee because my brain just went, yeah, I've had enough right now. But I'm not a technician, but I understand a lot of what the technicians do. So it's a bricks and mortar IT business. So we do sales, servicing and repairs on all types of IT equipment for domestic customers and business customers. And I have a team of guys who look after the technical stuff. And I do the administration, the bookkeeping, the business development, the social media, the marketing, and anything else that needs done.
Right. Along with being the mom and along with launching this video production academy.
Yeah. Well, my kids are 26, 25, and 13. They're all still at home. I'm trying to make them leave, but they won't go. that's a joke, by the way. Yeah. So they're still here. It's a team effort. So my 25-year-old will go and pick up my 13-year-old from school. And so we're all kind of in it together. So it's very much a team effort. And the podcast came about because we started the Video Production Academy last November. And the idea was to start a range of different tech academies because so often in the shop, people would come in and say, oh, I'm a tech idiot. I'm, you know, just tech illiterate. Can't deal with technology. And it's this really odd idea that somehow you should just be able to lay hands on a laptop and know what to do. Now, you wouldn't get in a car and expect to be able to pass your test without any tuition. You couldn't pick up a musical instrument and expect to be a grade 8 without tuition. You wouldn't run a marathon, hopefully, without doing training beforehand. But somehow people think IT stuff you should just be able to do.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if we could, now, if I could invent that and bottle it, I'd be a millionaire tomorrow. But it doesn't work like that. So we wanted to create these tech academies. And the sensible one to do first was the Video Production Academy, because that's where my background is. So it's like coming round full circle. So we teach tech-stressed business owners how to create videos for the business so they can feel confident on camera and they can connect effectively with their audience. So it's all part of the same thing. And the podcast really is a way to sort of say to people, these are business owners that have done this and are using video in all walks of life, in all different industries, at all different ages and tech levels and abilities. And if they can do it, you can do it too.
Awesome. I love that because yes, you can do it. And yeah. So just for the listeners, are probably going, gee, that lady has a little bit of a different accent. So where are you located, Lee?
I don't have an accent at all. I don't know what you mean. I'm based up in Northeast Scotland. So a lot of people know the series Outlander. I'm about 40 miles from where Outlander is recorded, but I don't have a Scottish accent. I'm from Lancashire in Northwest England, and I moved up here in 2005, and I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Awesome. Amazing. So I love this platform that we can get to talk to people from literally around the world. And we were discussing this on your podcast. So it's amazing. But today we want to talk a little bit about video and about content repurposing, because I don't know an entrepreneur that I have ever spoken to that kind of says, oh no, I can create content at a whim, right? Or I have lots of time to create content. And so first of all, let's talk about video and then we'll get to content repurposing. But I believe, and I've experienced this, and a lot of my clients have, why are business owners, or why do you think, what have you heard, that business owners are so reluctant to put their face on video?
Do you know, there is such a big fear factor, and I completely understand it because I was there. I spent 30 years not being on camera and not being on mic because I just looked at it and went, who on earth is going to want to see me? And who is going to want to hear that accent? Because, you know, I do have an accent. People are like, but I love your accent. It's like, okay. and people are their own worst critics. Mm-hmm. So they see themselves and they hear themselves and they think, oh, I don't want to show that. So then they try and be somebody that they're not, and they try and be something that they're not. And then that inauthenticity trips them up. So they end up not doing well because they're not being themselves. And what I say to people is the audience is just waiting to love you. Now, you can't be all things to all people.
Nope.
Not everybody's going to resonate with you, but somebody will. And actually, you have a responsibility to show up and deliver your message because somebody out there needs to hear it.
And that's the key, you know, it's about the value, the message, the knowledge, the wisdom, the expertise that you're going to share. I hate to say it, but they don't care what you look like.
They really don't.
No. It's not about that. And so when we make it about ourselves, that's when the fear comes up, right?
I think so. Yes. And I heard it said when somebody was getting nervous, getting ready to go on stage, and somebody actually berated them and was like, how dare you do that? They need your message. You have a responsibility to go and deliver that message. So how dare you be so wrapped up in yourself?
In yourself.
Thing.
Yeah.
And it really shook this person out of it and went, you're so right.
Yeah.
Now I've got to be honest and say, video, I'm very comfortable with now. Having done it for 2 years, being on camera and on mic, this is now my happy place. I know that you get up in front of hundreds of people in a room and speak. That's my very unhappy place. That's my idea of, nope, I couldn't do that. And I haven't learned to do that. But as an introvert, that is definitely something that I wouldn't want to do. But this is something that I've learned to do.
And that's interesting as an introvert, because yeah, so many people are introverts. They don't want to be seen, right? Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's, you know, share your message and stop thinking about yourself. Think about who you are here to serve, who you are here to help. And I like to keep things simple. And from talking to you on your podcast, I know you do too. So could you give a couple of tips about creating video, but just keeping it simple?
Absolutely. You can create video using anything as long as it's got a camera. So the bulk of my video is actually recorded either on my iPhone or on my laptop. So I record my podcasts and lots of other video content in Zoom. Mm-hmm. Because Zoom will give you 40 minutes of free space where you can record, and then you can download it afterwards as an MP4, which is the video, or the MP3, which is the audio, and then you can reuse that in lots of different ways. And that's completely free to use. What I would say is there is a little setting in Zoom that you tick to make it so you can edit using a third-party processor. And if you tick that, it means that when you download the video that you've just recorded, it's smoother. So it makes it so it's much better behaved. So definitely tick that. The other tip that I would give is make a Facebook group of one. And that Facebook group is you. And what that means is you can do your Facebook lives. You can practice. You've got this completely safe space where you can try different things out and watch yourself back, because you will get used to it. You will get used to your voice. You will get used to your mannerisms. You will get used to how you look. And if you're feeling brave, invite a couple of business besties into that group, because they can give you constructive feedback. Now, because that Facebook group is yours, if you record a video and afterwards go, actually, that was pretty good, you can download it out of that Facebook group and then you can reuse that elsewhere.
Yeah, I love that idea of having that Facebook group to practice in. Yeah, that's good. Very good. Yeah, I do Facebook Lives, as you know. That's why I pay a VA. So she downloads them. She uploads them to YouTube. But again, it's repurposing that content. Okay, so Zoom, create a Facebook group of one. What else would be a good tip for creating videos?
Make sure that you have a space that you're comfortable with. For me, I'm a wonderful procrastinator planner. I can spend so much time getting ready for things and having ideas and then actually not getting any traction with it. So one of the things that I did at home, because I'm in my home studio right now, is I have a space where I literally press the on switch and I'm good to go. I don't have any setting up to do. So it removes that barrier out of the way of going, oh, I couldn't possibly record just now because I've got to set this up. I've got to set the lights up. I've got to get the mic and da-da-da. And it's very easy to go, oh, I haven't got time right now. I'll just go and do something else.
You're right.
So make a space where it's really easy to do that. Now, I'll let you into a secret. You're in the corner of my bedroom. I'm in a space that's no more than 7 foot by 5 foot.
Perfect.
That's all it is. I've got fairy lights running around the ceiling because I like fairy lights. And I've got a ring light, which I've actually got overhead because I wear glasses. Yes. I can't use a ring light directly. I have to put it overhead and I have it like a halo instead. So otherwise, I end up looking like I'm on the Mr. Ons because I've got donut eyes.
I know.
So I have this all set up. I have a webcam that's on my monitor. I've got a mic that's on a swing arm. So I have a laptop that goes to work and comes home. It sits on a stand. It's got 3 cables that go in and I'm good to go. So that takes no time whatsoever to be ready to go. And if you take that barrier out of the way, then there's less reasons to say no.
Yes, for sure. I am blessed in this particular office. I've got, probably 10 feet of windows and another 8 feet. And today is a cloudy day. I don't have a ring light, but I have an Ott light. And it can brighten it up. But your tip for the ring light is so spot on, because those of us who wear glasses, we get this reflection, right? Yeah. And the ring light. So you've got it up here somewhere.
Yeah, mine's about 7 foot up on a stand.
Okay, perfect.
Because I've got the fairy lights all the way around as well, it gives a quite an even light and it's a nice white light. The way that my house is, I don't have a space where I could actually put a desk in front of a window.
Yeah.
If I did, I would, absolutely. Don't mix natural light and artificial light, because they have different, what they call color temperatures.
Yes.
So you can end up that if you have a window and then you're trying to use another light as well, if the color is different, you can end up looking like maybe you're not feeling very well.
Awesome. Yeah. So again, keeping it simple for video production, using video as part of a content strategy where you repurpose content, I think it is so valuable. So, I have a podcast that is, I do record the video. I haven't got to the point yet of deciding, you know, that my team is going to create that into video, but very often that can be done. Do you have some specific tips for people to repurpose content?
Absolutely. What I would say is start off with the big picture first. Mm-hmm. Your content strategy is basically the overall story of your business and your audience and your service and everything that you want to do. And so any content that you have is just a little snippet of that story. So if you start with the big picture in mind and work your way backwards, you maybe would produce a 20-minute video, could be a podcast, it could be something else. But then what you do is have a look at that as a whole and say, okay, what can I pull out of that? So you maybe would be able to use the video as video on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. You can then use the audio and use that for a podcast. But actually, you can pull out sound bites as well that then can be used as trailers to go back to the original piece or as standalone content. If you take the words from that, you can then create tweets. So you can use that on Twitter. You can repurpose your video to take it from being landscape that we are in at the moment as a standard laptop screen to being portrait like you would have on a mobile. And recording on Zoom, we have a lot of space around us that actually it's quite easy to just take that center third section. And then that becomes an Instagram reel or a Facebook reel or a YouTube short or TikTok. So all these things can get repurposed and used out in lots and lots of different ways. And what you'll find is because you're repurposing that content, your message gets to be more consistent because you're using those different elements again and again and again. So I record a podcast. I have the video element goes up onto YouTube. The audio element goes out onto all the different directories. I create a blog about the podcast itself. I then take little snippets and sound bites out, which I create what I call social videos, but they're done in portrait. So they go out on Instagram as reels and TikTok as reels. And the reason that I do that is Instagram reels and TikTok are both things that the platforms will put out to make it so your content is findable. So if you do it as something as a story, only the people that know you will see it. If you do it as a reel, those platforms will push it out further and you'll get a different response from it.
Interesting. So my content, I usually start with written. Interesting. And I'll create a blog and then my blog goes in my newsletter, which goes out on Tuesday. So that's Tuesday. But then I back it up and Monday, I will do my Monday morning question where I ask business owners a particular question. You know, it's a Facebook Live, it's less than 5 minutes. And then very often that same content, you know, it's republished on LinkedIn and in different places. But I may also then mention a particular podcast interview that's related to it or that type of thing. I think it was last week. There's, I think it's in the UK, I'm pretty sure, Parents in Business, I think it's called, and it's a podcast. And the way they run their podcast is very interesting. The person who is a guest does all the work. So we record the video and all they want is the audio, 15 minutes or less, send it to them with our bio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they post it on their various directories and whatever. Interesting concept. And so what I did was I ended up doing that exact same content for them, as well as my own podcast, as well as my own blog, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah,
I think you have a responsibility to use it like that. I think if you only use it once, you're kind of missing a trick. Now, I like shoes. If I go buy a pair of shoes, there are some shoes I will just look at. I buy them because they're pretty. But there's other shoes that I will wear again and again and again and again. Now, that's like repurposing content. Normally, you don't buy shoes to just look at. You buy shoes to wear again and again and again and again. So why should it be any different with your content? Your content should be able to be used. Now, you use it in quite a small time frame from the sound of it, but actually there's no reason why you couldn't use it over a 12-month process.
Oh, for sure.
I give the example of iPhone repair. It's about an unsexy example as you can get. But if you took the process of fixing an iPhone, because this is something we do at work. And say, for example, there was 10 different elements to fixing an iPhone. So you've got the removal of the screen, the cleaning of the earpiece, the cleaning of the mic, the moving of the back, the changing of the battery. You could say maybe for easy maths, there's 10 different things that's there. So that's 10 different videos that can go out. But actually, you can then create different pieces of content off that. So that's 10 videos. But how about we do 10 photographs, like behind the scenes and things? What if we do some conversation starters on it as well? Are you iPhone or Android? Do you use your phone for work? So there's then all different things that can come off it that it starts then as that initial seed to take it further on. And so that one piece of content can become 40 pieces of content, which basically gives you one thing a week for most of a year. And just by being canny and not going, I have 10 videos here, have 10 videos. We'll have a video this week, but we maybe won't have a video for 4 weeks. And next week we'll have a blog post about it. The week after we'll have a conversation starter and spread it out so it lasts over a long period of time.
Yeah, I do that with clients when they come to me and they're redoing their website. Not that I redo the website, but I help them rewire it or wireframe it. And we'll talk about a lead magnet. And for two of my clients recently, the topic of that lead magnet has become the elements of their signature talk and their interviews on podcasts. Then it can also be like, let's say it's 5 myths of whatever. And I did this when I started my podcast. I said 5 ways to simplify your business. And I created 5 different topics. And then there was a guest interview about some of those topics, and then there was a testimonial about some of those topics. And so, yeah, I think it became 11 episodes.
That's repurposing at its finest.
Yeah, it's great because you can't be spending all of your time creating content. Now, we know that the value of content is, you know, it creates credibility and authority and all that type of thing. But we have to be really conscientious, I believe, in how we show up and how we save time.
I think we have to work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
And I'm working on a new lead magnet at the moment because I have a few different ones out there. You know, we're trialing things and seeing how it goes.
Yep.
And I was actually at a workshop and this was mentioned as a concept. And I thought, oh my goodness, I need to do that. So I'm in the process at the moment of creating the world's shortest video summit.
I heard you talk about that.
It's 60 speakers, each have 1 minute to give their best video tip. Now, of the 60 speakers, I think there's 2, maybe 3 of us are video professionals. I've got all sorts of different people in there. They're from all walks of life, all around the world. Now, the clever thing about this is they're writing their own headline. They're writing their own tip. They're recording the video. I'm going to edit the video because I've got a particular style that I want it to fit in with. I'm going to send them back a copy of the video, and I'm also doing little social videos for it as well. And they will then share it with their audience. I get to borrow 59 other people's audiences, but so do they.
Yeah.
So it's quite feasible that actually we can get this in front of a million eyes. Now,
wow.
There is work involved in it because I've got all the editing to do. Do you know, it's taken me 2 weeks to fill all 60 places, just 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about this because they're getting to do so much of the work. I get to do the collation. I'm asking people to do their 60 seconds. I'm also asking them to share the bloopers because bloopers are my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
I love it when it doesn't quite go to plan. And so what we get to do is do trailers using the bloopers and do trailers using sound bites from it to encourage people to sign up to get to the rest of it. And then these 1 minute sections from all these people that get to say who they are, where they're from, about the business, and a lead magnet as well, get to promo their business just in this little section.
I can't wait to see how this goes for you because I think it's quite phenomenal. I think it's something a little different. And yeah, I think it's going to be great. So Lee, you know, just before I get to ask you, you know, a couple of last questions, I'm going to do my little public service announcement here. So, you know, this is for the listeners. Because most business owners know that content creation is a must. It's a must to build credibility. It's a must to build trust. But it can also sometimes be a big time gobbler. If you would like to work with me to build your content creation strategy and map out how to repurpose your content, then perhaps a VIP strategy day might be just the perfect way for us to work together. Let's chat. You can go to www.dianalidstone.com/schedule. You can easily become the undeniable authority in your field with an awesome and simple content creation plan. Let's have a conversation. During that conversation, we will map out your next best steps to uplevel your business and create success on your terms. Okay, Lee, any last words on video or content creation?
The thing that I would want to say to people is get brave and have a go at doing this.
Ooh, brave.
Know why you're doing it, but have a go at doing it. Get that Facebook group of one up there and have a practice and have a play. You only need a laptop or a smartphone to do it and make it work. And if you start to take those little bits of video content, don't try and do everything in one go. Just take a little bit at a time. I'll put a little bit out at a time and see what effect it has. Because the effect it had on my business was amazing. I work in IT. We create these amazing gaming computers that are all light and really pretty. And, you know, they're worth thousands of pounds. We put that up on social media and people go, yeah. We do a post where it's like, and Grant's birthday today. Here he is smiling with a badge. Got seven times as many views as the machine did.
Yeah.
And that's because people buy in to people. This is all relational. And that's why video works so well.
Yeah. And that's so true, I think. And the other thing is that I think Facebook and, you know, these other social media platforms love video, right?
Hugely.
Yeah, they do. Great, great, great tips. I love the word brave. I love, you know, practice. And the other thing is you gain confidence from doing, not from waiting for confidence, right? Confidence comes by doing.
You have to get out of your own comfort zone. And the way that I did it was I challenged myself to do 30 days of Facebook Lives.
Ooh, there we are.
And so the first few of them were horrible.
Yeah.
And I was wooden and, you know, I'd get palpitations and I'd go red and, you know, I'd actually get a physical response to the nerves. And by about day four, I just relaxed into it. And by the time I finished all 30, it was fine. It was like I'd learned how to drive the car. I could do it now without thinking about it, without worrying about it. And so it just is that process of practicing and practicing and practicing. And I say, just get your big girl pants on and go for it.
Good one. Good one. Okay. My last question is one that I ask every guest. And how do you embody or embrace the hashtag work less, earn more?
I think for me, this is probably still quite at the aspirational stage because the Video Production Academy is still really young. We're only launching our signature program at the end of May, beginning of June. So as we record this, I'm in launch season. And anybody that's done launch season knows that working less in that phase doesn't generally happen, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So the thing that I'm doing at the moment is automating where I can, creating standard operating procedures where I can,
yep,
and actually doing the extra work at this stage so I don't have to do the work twice later on.
Perfect.
So I'm putting in the effort now so I won't need to put in so much effort later.
I love that. Very, very good. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, Lee. If you'd like to learn more about Lee and her Video Production Academy, head into the show notes where all the links will be. And I really appreciate you taking this time all the way from Scotland, she says.
Okay, the new, yeah, not Scottish accent, but you know.
No, see, I wouldn't know. But anyway, thanks, listeners. Thanks very much. And remember, until next week, you can do this. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Equation Business Training Podcast, where it's all about hashtag work less, earn more. Before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review. If you enjoyed this and want more of Diana, you're invited to join her private Facebook community for live trainings, articles, and Q&A head over to facebook.com/groups/thinklikeaceowithdiana. Until next time, thanks for listening.